The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And good morning, everybody. It's very nice to have you here. It is a Tuesday. This is so nutty. Well, remember Saturday morning? Remember Saturday morning? Thermometers will differ. But when I woke up Saturday morning, 35 degrees. Today, 92. Welcome to Texas fall. And welcome to our Tuesday show. Our visit with Mike Gallagher is at its normal time a half hour from now at 9:15 this morning. Interesting time. At 9:15, something is going to be revealed. And we'll keep an eye and an ear peeled for this and share it with you as it enters the public sphere. And that is this recording, this tape of Michael Quinn Sullivan and of Empower Texans and Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin. A much talked about piece of audio tape that Michael took in and recorded on the sly. In order to, his testimony is, protect himself against the snake-like behavior of Speaker Bonin and any duplicitousness that he might deploy. And what apparently is on the tape, and I say apparently because it's not just what Michael says, but a ton of people have heard it. A lot of lawmakers have heard it. Governor Abbott has not. Lieutenant Governor Patrick has not. But we all will now. And in whatever form that comes out, we'll duck into that and see what the deal is. The story has been for months now that it is Speaker Bonin offering Michael Quinn Sullivan the legislative journalist credentials that he has long sought for his organization, Empower Texans, in return for help from the very powerful lobbying and advocacy arm of Empower Texans to help take out about 10 Republicans, to have them sort of get together and primary out a little less than a dozen Republicans. Michael never agreed to this, thought it was creepy and unethical. And so we'll see what we think of it when the tape comes out, and we'll see. I mean, I don't know if it's going to lend itself to, you know, just hit play and go, but we'll see what that is at 9:15. But the really important thing is that tomorrow, this story will come out today, and it will be huge. People will react to it all day long. Then tomorrow at 8:05, Michael Quinn Sullivan joins us right here on the program to talk about what the day was like as this much talked about tape comes out. Will it destroy the career of Speaker Dennis Bonin? Should it? Or is this just a lesson learned where he should get a little better at ethics and things like that? So that tape comes out at 9:15. We will pay attention. LeBron James, shocker, LeBron James said something stupid. Daryl Morey is the general manager of the Houston Rockets. He said, and his sin was standing up for democracy in Hong Kong. The NBA structure, which is a total whore to China, has scolded him and criticized him. And LeBron now says that Daryl Morey was uneducated and thinking only of himself. So if you didn't know that LeBron James was a complete moron, you know now. He is also, perchance, the greatest NBA player of all time. That's about talent. This is about something wholly different. He is a complete idiot. There are five other things we could do today, and we will, but let's everybody gather together and deal with the story that is now around the world out of Fort Worth. It's around the country, of course, and it involves, of course, a shooting, and of course, white cop, and of course, black victim, which just ramps everything up. I don't care about the race of anybody involved. I care about the tragedy, and that is exactly what this is. So, but what more is it? Is it a crime? Is it murder? Because that has now entered the storyline. I don't know if you kept track of this as yesterday wound down, but Officer Aaron Dean has been charged with murder in the shooting of Tatiana Jefferson. I watched her family in a series of news conferences, and these are she just was apparently a beautiful person. And these family members are they are grieving, of course, but they are there's a purposeful vibe to them. There is a there's a poise and a calm amid their pain, and this is it's just horrible. It was Monday night, last night was when he was he resigned, and it was early Saturday morning that Officer Aaron Dean shot and killed 28-year-old Tatiana Jefferson in her house. Steve Wilson has the byline in the Star-Telegram, and they'll see how TV covered it, because, and then I'll get to the questions that you and I need to deal with as members of the community. To talk about how the wheels of justice, we've just gone through all this with Amber Geiger. Opinions differed, differed widely, and we'll see if that's the case here. Aaron Dean is 34. He's a cop out of, I think, his hometown's Arlington. He resigned from the Fort Worth Police Department yesterday. Now, this was interesting. You know, rather than hang in and take the slings and arrows, was his resignation an attempt to somehow dodge some consequence? So it's not a matter of internal affairs. I don't know. But anyway, Steve Wilson has the byline. A Fort Worth police officer was arrested and charged with murder in the shooting death of Tatiana Jefferson on Monday evening, hours after he resigned. Aaron York Dean, 34, of Arlington, resigned from the Fort Worth Police Department on Monday morning. Early Saturday morning, he shot and killed Jefferson, 28, inside her home while responding to a call from a neighbor about doors at the house being open. This neighbor has spoken out. He feels terrible. My heart goes out to him. Here's a citizen doing what you want citizens to do, right? It was a neighbor, saw the house, lights on, doors wide open, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Are you calling the cops on that? Sure. So guess what? The cops came and arrived at the house, and Officer Dean sees a figure in the dark in the house, does not identify himself as a police officer, but says, "Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands." And I mean, is it even 2 seconds? Is it even 2 seconds before he opens fire on her? Dude. I mean, there's a default setting for talk show hosts and police shootings. All I have is my own. And that is to be open to facts and evidence. Facts and evidence. Not race baiting, not race hustling, not circling the wagons and protecting the police at all costs. That's not honest either. But being open to facts and evidence. I am also unapologetically a pro-police talk show. Unapologetically. I've backed the blue written across my DNA. That said, that will never mean that I try to cover stuff up or sweep stuff under the rug. From Hands Up, Don't Shoot, which was a lie, to the South Carolina shooting of a black man running away from an officer after a traffic stop, a bad shooting. He deserves to be in jail, and he will be for the rest of his life. They're good shootings and bad shootings. I see them not through the lens of race, not through the lens of anybody's color, and not through the lens of the uniform anybody's wearing, but through the lens of facts and evidence. So this, from the moment it happened, looked like a very bad shooting. So fairness required of me that I look, and I'm asking from you, is there anything that makes this look like a justifiable shooting? A jury may examine this very thing, and there are facts to be garnered and evidence to be evaluated. This is obviously so early and so preliminary, but what do we really not know? Is there really that much more to be revealed? If so, bring it. Let's see. Because what it looks like is Officer Dean arrived. And it was a welfare check It's a bad term. It's a, it, meaning checking on somebody's welfare. It was a... And his job was to evaluate whether everybody was okay in that house. Instead, he draws a gun and kills this woman? What the hell? So in a minute, we'll get to whether... I mean, does he deserve to be a cop anymore? No, and he's not. Does he deserve to be a free man walking around? Well, that's going to come... That's going to come before a jury at some point. Or, you know, we'll see what happens. He is... Oh, and is it murder? If we know each other, I think you might know where I'm going on that. And you'll find out here in a second. Somebody phrased this as a Rambo-style response to what simply needed open eyes and open ears to check on whether anyone inside that house was okay. And instead... Officer Dean draws down and kills a woman. Now, is a training issue? Is a training issue just for this guy? Is a training issue for the whole department? We're going to hear a lot about a term, de-escalation, which is a great term. It's called how to take something that's tense, something that's curious, and go, shh, calm down, eyes clear, focus, breathe. Now, if something goes down, if somebody reaches into, you know, the waistband of some sweatpants, take them out. Take them out. Ask questions later. I'll always say that. However, if you don't know what's going on, have no reason to feel threatened by anything, here's a crazy idea. Don't kill anybody. And I always know this, and I'm not a cop. I'm not wearing those shoes. I'm not wearing that uniform. And by the way, that's what I've always plugged into any analysis I've ever had. As a matter of fact, whenever somebody said, let's say you've got police in somebody's front yard, and a guy, you know, reaches for something, and they draw and kill him, and somebody calls me and says, well, they didn't know they had to kill him. Well, guess what? You want them to die first? Here's a great idea. Obey police commands. Always put myself in that frame of mind, and I will always give benefit of the doubt to the police. In fact, I've said this 1,000 times. I give benefit of the doubt to the police until there's reason not to give them benefit of the doubt. And boy, does this look like one of those occasions. My gosh. So was Officer Dean just trigger happy? Did he freak out? And what crime is that? Because it certainly seems to be a crime. We've just gone through Amber Geiger, criminally negligent homicide is what I wanted. They went for murder, which was wrong, gave her 10 years, which seems about right. In this, they go for murder. What is it with everybody in murder? This isn't murder. Now, I'll tell you what. I don't think this is criminally negligent homicide either. I think this is the one that exists between criminally negligent homicide and murder, and that is manslaughter. Manslaughter is recklessness. We give our police the ability to take our property, the ability to take our freedom, the ability to take our lives. We give them that power. They deserve that power. They must have that power to keep us safe and to have the wheels of justice turn. But it requires something of them. Why do you think I love the police so much? Why do I revere them, respect them, hold them to such a lofty, lofty perch? Because that's the power we give them. And day in and day out, they prove that they deserve it. There is zero margin for error. May God bless the men and women of law enforcement. But when you've got that kind of power, you better wield it with wisdom and restraint. It appears that Officer Dean freaked out and killed a woman. Does that wind up looking like recklessness? Does that wind up looking like manslaughter? Maybe, you know, to my, you know, layperson's eye, that's the first thing that occurs to me. Murder? No. It's not. And Lord knows we've steeped ourselves in the Texas Penal Code. Murder involves, did you intend to kill somebody? But maybe we need to rewrite the murder law, intend to kill somebody for the sake of killing them. Amber Geiger on the stand did herself no favors, and her attorney did her no favor. Because the answer to did you intend to kill Botham Jean was I intended to protect myself. I intended to defend myself. Whether I killed him, disabled him, winged him, whatever, I intended to kill. Instead, did you intend to kill him? Yes. Well, great. There you go. That's helpful. Now, did Aaron Dean intend to kill Ms. Jefferson? I don't know. I guess he'll be asked on a stand at some point soon. But there's no murderous intent in this. But It is a horrible thing. She's dead. It's his fault. And it looks very much like a crime. Not just police malfeasance or violation of policy, but a crime. Now, as I started a sentence about 3 minutes ago, fairness requires an examination of why it might not be. He is out on bond, which is completely proper. $200,000 bond. It's completely proper. We don't have bail based on how angry we are, how bad the crime is. There's two reasons to not let somebody out on bail. One is you think they're a flight risk, think they're going to blow town. I don't know if there's any reason to believe that. And the other one is they're a danger to society. I don't think Officer Dean is going to be killing anybody else. So that's me. How about you? Let's do a call or two, and then we'll get into Mike Gallagher, and then we'll resume this at 8:05, and anything else you want to do, 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 723.
In a grave, take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy, and you tell me over and over and over again.
1968, Barry Maguire and Eve of Destruction. Barry Maguire, still alive, 84 today. All righty, 866-660-5759. We are in Frisco. Walter, morning. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Hi. Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
So, Mark, I'm just kind of curious. In the same breath, you said, you know, hey, we should wait for all the facts to come in. And at the same time, you said, but what more facts could there be?
Well, that,
I mean, if that's not calling the guy guilty, I don't know what is.
Well, it'll be up to a jury to see what additional things become known. Until that happens, that's the wheels of justice. Until that happens, we are citizens examining what we know and evaluating it. And that's what I do here for a living. So let me ask you, like in Amber Geiger, we learned the facts and we talked a lot about what we thought that was. I always thought it was criminally negligent homicide. Did you ever find fault with that? Did you ever call me during that and say, hey, you're convicting her?
Actually, I did call you and I made the point that that they should have charged her with manslaughter.
Really?
Because she didn't get a chance to defend herself against that. So we did have a conversation.
Now, you know, and you know what? And that's a very fair point. Now, was that you jumping to some conclusion? Who are you to say, you know, don't you need to wait for a moment? So climb down a little bit off the high horse. A jury will determine exactly what all the facts and all the evidence are. Meanwhile, the rest of us who follow this in the news and take a look at this are left to evaluate it. And this looks for all the world like a very bad shooting. And unless there is some large unknown fact that has not come to pass, and if that arises, then okay, we'll go, wow, then maybe it's not a crime, but it sure looks like one now. Does it not look that way to you?
Well, I don't think we have enough facts, and I think there's a number of scenarios, and I really don't know, but like some of the things that have been pointed out already, like he didn't identify himself as a police officer.
Correct.
Right? So was he the only police officer on the scene?
No. There was another one. There was another officer who is now going to be a witness.
Right. Did the other officer announce that he was a police officer or she was a police officer?
Well, there's
so
a microphone.
Not every police on scene.
There's a microphone.
Announce that they're police.
There's a microphone on the body cam, and what we've seen in the very chilling body cam is there he is looking around the house. The window, you know, there he is looking through the window. There's Ms. Jefferson in the window. And in a matter of maybe 2 seconds, he draws and fires on her after saying, show me your hands.
So is there a scenario that says that would be acceptable? What if he told somebody else to raise their hands and they pulled the gun on him and pointed at him?
Right, that's
within 2 seconds.
Would
shooting be okay then, or should he wait?
Yes, yeah, you've got a very good point. There are some cases, it's kind of funny, I had somebody suggest to me that as soon as somebody says, show me your hands, who else says that other than a police officer, which is a fair point. However, with body cam rolling, man, that just looks like extremely quick and deadly force response with thoroughly inadequate reason. But this conversation is good. And if there's something in there that makes it where objective people, and not on a jury, hopefully objective people, say, okay, that's why Officer Dean did what he did, then he will not be convicted, and nor should he be convicted of something. But that'll have to be a set of circumstances that's not apparent on that body cam. But that's why we have trials. That's why we look for more evidence. Appreciate you. 732, Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom. Well, I've got a piece of news. Should have seen this one coming yesterday. Mike sounded a little husky. Well, the voice is apparently gone. So we shan't be hearing Mike's voice today or on his own show. I guess they've tapped old Sam Malone down there in Houston to fill in for Mike. But guess what? Got a bunch of calls on hold. I'm going to y'all now. You don't have to endure Mike and me blathering at each other. And then we go to your calls at 8:05. No, we're coming to you now. So if you're just joining the show, let me tell you where we are and what we're kind of in the middle of. And that is the murder charge that has been wrapped around Officer Aaron Dean for the Saturday morning in the wee hours shooting of a Tatiana Jefferson. Does it look like a crime was committed to me and not just a violation of police procedure? Yes. Does murder seem like the right charge? Again, I'm here to tell you no. The Amber Geiger case gave us a lot of opportunity to look at criminally negligent homicide, manslaughter, and murder. Murder is when you intend to kill somebody. You just say, you know what? I'm going to kill that person. Manslaughter is somebody dies. It's your fault because you were reckless. Criminally negligent homicide is somebody's dead. It's your fault. And you were negligent, as the name of the charge suggests. Amber Geiger struck me as criminally negligent homicide. This, at first blush, admittedly, in the first wave of information, looks to me like manslaughter. It seems reckless to get that to go to deadly force that quickly, and the assistant police chief Ed Krause seems to agree. Said that if Aaron Dean had not resigned, that he would have been fired, and so here we are. Officer Dean was not cooperating during the first day following the shooting, and then resigned. What was that about? So none of that has to do with his charge. The charge was murder. Can that be changed? Can that be ramped down? Or are we about to go through another episode of watching people figure out charges based on racial revenge or, you know, keeping the street happy or anything? I will tell you this, and we've had a little back and forth on Twitter, and maybe I need to have the gentleman on the show. I'd be happy to do that. And that is Attorney Lee Merritt, who just if white cop shoots a black person, Lee Merritt shows up organically, like poof, like a genie out of a bottle. And so he's there now as the attorney for the Jefferson family. And by the way, has every right to be there, and everybody gets an advocate. But the problem with Mr. Merritt is that he is a proven cop hater. In the Joshua Brown case, this was the young man who testified in the Amber Geiger case, and then he took a bullet. And there was Lee Merritt absolutely wanting you to believe that essentially the Dallas police had Joshua Brown killed because Joshua Brown helped send Amber Geiger up the river. Well, Joshua Brown was killed because of a drug deal gone bad. That blew up in Mr. Merritt's face. He was unapologetic. He owed the Dallas police and this community an apology. Not only did we not get that, he's back. And it's funny because let me tell you what's happening in Fort Worth as we go to your calls. And then we got some TV journalism on this from overnight. Let me tell you what's happening. From Mayor Betsy Price to Interim Chief Krause, it seems that the wheels of justice in Fort Worth are rolling exactly as one would want after such a horrible tragedy. It seems like there is accountability. It seems like there is urgency, and nobody seems to be circling any wagons. The police association, Manny Ramirez of the Fort Worth Police Association, said we do not serve the public well in this instance, it appears. There's not a lot of denial, misdirection. Everybody seems to be on best behavior. And yet there are race baiters, race hustlers, malcontents, troublemakers, hotheads who are going to make this worse because it's a soapbox for them to take this one case and make 15 other points about 15 other cases, which may or may not be, you know, good or bad shootings. Don't know. It all gets conflated in this Black Lives Matter cesspool of illogic and racial revenge. Fort Worth and the rest of our area, and we need none of this. We need none of this. Let the wheels turn based on facts and evidence. If Officer Dean needs to be locked up for something, then let's get him locked up for something. If something happens along the way, if there looked to be the smatterings of cover up or somebody wasn't saying the right thing, doing the right thing, of course anybody can speak out on that. Of course. That's not Mr. Merritt's MO. Mr. Merritt's deal is to show up and create as much racial discord and as much cop-hating bad blood as possible. And does he have the right to do this? Of course he does. Is it right to do this? It is not. 866-660-5759. We are in Dallas. Hi, Philip. Good Tuesday morning to you. How you doing? Whoopsie daisy. Did I do something wrong? That's weird. Let's try this. Oh, hang on a second. Okay. Well, I have no idea what I'm doing or not doing. Hey, Brian, how are you? Okay, kids. Oh, no. I think I know. We got a new host's worst enemy. New phone system. Hang on one second. Let's do this. Where was I going? I was going to. Philip, there you go. Operator error. How are you, sir? Nice to have you.
Doing good, Mark. Doing good. You know, something that gets me, I was an officer for several years.
Thank you.
In the Metroplex in Richardson. And a thing that I don't understand is that as an officer, you have so many resources available. On both of these cases, I don't know all the details, but I do know I hated going to open doors. I've been there. Where you don't know what's on the other side.
Yes, sir.
It scares the bejeebies out of you. But at the same time, you have time. You've got backup. You can call other people. I mean, if your life is not being shot at, or if you're not in dire need, you can back up. Just like that gentleman, if he saw something in the window, back up. His partner's there. Call for some more people because you have all the time in the world. Unless somebody's in danger of getting killed, you have time. It's on your side. You could sit there for hours and bring more people in, more resources. But it gets back to what you were talking about, because we had to qualify every year. And when you're qualified, they teach you, you know, you take a deep breath. Slow down. You know, you're in control. Slow down. And when all breaks loose, your adrenaline is going so fast that time literally stops.
Yeah.
And you do have that seconds, because I have been there. And you do have that where this everything slows down. You can see more than you can imagine.
Oops. Yeah, cellular burp. As the cell might be failing, let me see if I'm, because you draw an interesting parallel between the Amber Geiger case and Ms. Jefferson's house. And that is nothing's going to change in that apartment. Nothing's going to change in that house if you just take a moment, withdraw, and if you think, something weird might be going on in there, let's approach this slowly, gradually, evaluate the situation and go based on better information rather than just, you know, shooting through the window or jumping toward him and firing. Philip, thank you. I appreciate it very much. Now, this is one of those cases where I can sit here as a radio guy all day and, you know, having talked about 100 stories like this over my life with just my layperson's eyes and ears. But when somebody with actual police background, that's why we're the Cops Talk Show. And by the way, if there are any of you in uniform who think that Officer Dean is being done wrong here by any observation I make or by anything that the authorities do, I've already told you that I don't think the murder charge is right. This isn't murder. Why does everybody go jump into murder? I guess, this is really bad. It's got to be murder. This seems like manslaughter. Amber Geiger seemed like criminally negligent homicide. So can we go with what the law actually says? Manslaughter involves recklessness. And I think when we get at some point, unless we get some plea deal, I don't know, that might be in Officer Dean's best interest. I don't know. But if we get to, a trial for Officer Dean, well, that'll be a big deal, I guess. Recklessness is a concept that will be explored deeply, and it should. And that's what it looks like to me. That's what it, you know, and again, I'm not a cop. I haven't been through cop training. I know a lot of people who have. That guy has, and that's what he's talking about. And so, your thoughts, 866-660-5759. All righty. We are in Fort Worth. And Jim, that is you. Welcome. Hey, Mark Davis, happy Tuesday.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Morning.
I just want to bring up a couple points, but one of which is people are making a lot of noise about the fact that he did not disclose or did not announce himself as a police officer. Mm-hmm. There's no requirement that somebody does that, but more importantly, people need to look at or think about the totality of the circumstances and going, would it be prudent for me to announce myself? If you're at 2:30 in the morning, there's an open door in a high crime neighborhood. That's not a normal thing. Things are typically locked down in those neighborhoods. People got bars over their doors, their windows, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So you're sent to investigate that, and you go there, and there's an open door. You're thinking, well, is there a home invasion taking place right now? Is there a burglary taking place right now? So I think that could be, and I have no idea what's going through his mind. But so in that thought process, you might be thinking, okay, let me walk around the house and see if I can see what's going on before I call out
Absolutely.
And bring attention to myself and
Absolutely.
Get myself hurt.
That is a completely plausible thing for a cop to do. If, however, you have chosen not to blanket the scene with Fort Worth police, to let everybody in the neighborhood know, if you've made the choice to kind of keep that close to your vest, bulletproof vest in this case, then there's some responsibilities that kick in. And that is that if you see something that makes you want to draw down and use deadly force, it better be something that warrants it. So your point is superbly crafted. You're absolutely right. The reason, in talking to a million cops over, decades, the reason that the police announcement is made, hey, police, Fort Worth police, come on out, is so that people inside the house know that it's not just random citizens descending on the house. Because, believe it or not, there are some people who are a little less likely to return fire if they know it's the cops outside, or less likely to initiate fire if they know it's the cops outside. So there's a reason for the announcement of police presence. Your point is a very good one, and police have the discretion not to, blather that out and play that card loudly. But if you're doing things on the sly, if you're doing things quietly and in very measured fashion for that reason, boy, is there a special responsibility that kicks into you, an even greater responsibility. And that is that if you do see something, if you do wind up drawing your weapon and using deadly force, it had better damn well be for something that you saw, that you discerned justly and fairly and responsibly merited deadly force. And man, that does not look like the case in Officer Dean's takedown of Ms. Jefferson. But again, I'm just a radio guy. We're all just bricklayers, burger flippers, teachers, parents, accountants, lawyers, and whatever we do for a living. It'll be up to prosecutors, defenders, and a jury to figure this out in the courtroom. And that they will. 752, Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer. All right, so lots of questions will be asked moving forward. Gentleman had a great point. We're not a jury. We can't convict. What happens to Officer Aaron Dean will at some point be up to the system of justice. What we've got is answering the essential citizen question, what does this look like? And we'll do that and take care of some other topics, too, in our 8 o'clock hour, which unfolds next. Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.